tonight and what the Lord has in store for us. Now, I'll just say, throughout the month of August, as I was on a prayer retreat earlier, just a few weeks ago, really, the Lord really laid it on my heart, the great need to focus the attention of our church on growth in the area of evangelism. And when I speak of evangelism, I'm talking about sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe this is an area that we desperately need to grow in as a church. And you may say, well, Pastor, we've had a lot of people saved this year at our church. And I praise God for that, for the people that have been saved. I'll say this. I believe that if every member of Lighthouse Baptist Church became a soul winner, there'd be a lot more people coming to Christ. That's one of the reasons why we need desperately to grow in this area. And so we're going to be focusing throughout this month, every Sunday night for the rest of this month, we'll be delving into passages of Scripture that will teach us about the significance of soul winning, of evangelism, of sharing our faith and helping other people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so let me begin tonight by making this statement. The single greatest need of every human heart, Jesus. I think we all agree about that, right? Everyone needs more than anything else in this world is Jesus. I don't think that a person in this room would contest that being a fact. And yet while we claim to believe that all men need Jesus, why do we still fail and to point people to Jesus? If you really believe it, what every person needs more than anything in this world is Jesus, why aren't you bringing them to Jesus? That's a question that we are going to have to face together tonight. With the people in your life, it's a lot easier to talk about family, their family. It's a lot easier to talk about the weather. It's a lot easier to talk about sports. It's a lot easier to talk about your hobbies. It's a lot easier to talk about even politics. Not that. Some of us, we would rather go talk to politics about someone than Jesus. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to talk to people about our faith? Excuse me. We know that's the most significant thing that every person needs in their life, and yet it seems like there's this barrier that keeps us talking to people about Jesus. And I think that from time to time, we need exhortation about this matter of sharing our faith in Jesus. And while you say you believe every person needs Jesus, they need to know Jesus more than anything else in this world, your negligence to actually share the truth of Jesus with others reveals more about what you believe than your words do. Lots of ways people have put this throughout the years. Your actions speak louder than your words. I like the phrase, belief determines behavior. If you really believed that Jesus is what every man needs more than anything else in this world, that belief would compel you to share Jesus with every man you get an opportunity to share him with. Yet still, there's that barrier that so often keeps us from talking to people about Jesus. Hey, listen, I'll say this. Can you really get away from spending, when you really come away, I should say, from spending genuine time with Jesus, if you've been with Jesus, you won't be able to help talk about him to other people. There's a testimony of the apostles in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 20, the apostles told the people who were criticizing them about going everywhere and preaching Jesus, they said, we can't help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. In other words, they said, if you had experienced what we've experienced, you wouldn't be able to shut up about it either. We have seen the living Christ. We have seen him resurrected from the grave. We've seen him do miracles. He has worked in our hearts. He's transformed our lives. And friend, if you've been with Jesus, if you have experienced the salvation that only Jesus Christ can provide, it will transform your life. And the natural result of you having Jesus in your life will be that you want to share Jesus with others who have never experienced him. Perhaps the best example of an individual in the Scripture, or one of my favorites, I should say, in the New Testament, of someone embodied what we're speaking of about here tonight. A man by the name of Andrew. Yeah, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's also an apostle of Jesus Christ. Disciple means follower. The word apostle means a sent one. So he was a follower of Jesus who became one that Jesus sent forth to help establish the early church. Of course, we know Andrew's older brother a little bit better, Peter. He's a lot more outspoken in the scriptures than Andrew was. In fact, Andrew doesn't say very much. Peter says more than all the other apostles combined. And so that's why we hear about Peter so much. Andrew's role in ministry was no less significant than Peter's. The thing that's special about Andrew, almost every time you read about the apostle Andrew in the scripture, you know what he's doing? Bringing people to Jesus. That's what he's doing. John chapter 1, I just want to read a couple of verses here for the sake of introduction here, but John chapter 1, and look down with me at verse number, let's read, start at verse 41. The Bible says, he, this is Andrew who's being spoken of here, first findeth his own brother Simon, now that's Peter, saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Read the first phrase of verse 42 with me out loud. Let's read it together. And he brought him to Jesus. Here he is, bringing people to Jesus. Go on. Go to John chapter 6 with me, if you would. John chapter 6. We'll be in John for most of our time in the scriptures tonight. John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Come back and elaborate this story more later. This is the feeding of the 5,000. But the Bible says in verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Here Jesus is asking his disciples about whether or not they have enough food to feed the multitude. And in the midst of that, Andrew finds someone with food, and what does he do? Hey, Jesus, here's somebody. He's bringing him to Jesus. See that? Chapter 12. We'll see the same thing. Chapter 12, a different story. Chapter 12, and look with me at verse number 20. The Bible says in chapter 12 and verse 20, were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip comes and tells Andrew, and again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now, Andrew and Philip teaming up together here, but once again, what we see is Andrew involved in bringing people to Jesus. I want to preach to you on this theme tonight, brought him to Jesus. As we think about our responsibility when it comes to this matter of leading people to the Lord, that should be the characteristic that defines, one of the characteristics that defines every single one of our lives as believers. It should be a regular thing for you to be bringing people to Jesus. Bow our heads and ask the Lord to speak to our heart on this as we get ready to dive into this study tonight. Our Father, we come before you. We thank you for the time that we have spent in worship. We thank you for the time that we have spent in fellowship already tonight. And Lord, I am looking forward to you stirring our hearts through the preached word. And I pray, God, that you would open our hearts. And Lord, some of us may have been closed for most of our days to this matter of outreach. We'd rather serve in a different area. But Lord, there is no other option but disobedience when it comes to this matter. You have missioned us to preach the gospel to the nations. And I pray that you'd increase our faith tonight and give us a softened heart of surrender to be willing to be tools in your hands to bring other people to Jesus, to bring other people to you. And I just pray, God, you give me power to preach your word tonight. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Andrew, what a man who we have seen here, he lived his life. Every time we read about him in the scripture, what we read about him is purpose of his life. And that purpose for his life was that he wanted to bring people to Jesus. Now, I don't think Andrew had a tombstone. If he did, I'll tell you what I would want to put on it. He brought people to Jesus. Could be a phrase that really defines why and how he lived his life. He lived his life bringing people to Jesus. been interesting to me these past couple weeks. I've been able to baptize several more people. You know, several of them gave me a very similar testimony. I know they were young ones. They gave me a very similar testimony. God had spoken to their heart about trusting Jesus, and there was someone brought them to Jesus. Interestingly, in this case, it was all the same person, Sarah Lovett. She's just a tool in God's hand. Jesus did the drawing. Jesus did the saving. Get that. But, you know, I want to have that type of testimony. It's a commonplace thing where people are being brought to Jesus as I'm being obedient to what the Lord's telling me to do. I understand we can't determine the fruit. We can't determine who comes and who gets saved. Boy, that just encouraged my heart as I thought about that. Even an example from our own church of someone who's bringing other people to Jesus. Would you say that's a testimony in your life? Have you ever brought someone to Jesus? We can't save them, but we can sure share the gospel with people. We can sure point people in the direction of Jesus Christ and give them the opportunity to be able to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Have you ever been in that position before? Position of bringing someone to Jesus. Listen, it is God's desire that you would live your life seeking to bring people to Jesus. For that is the cause, mind you, for which Jesus has left us behind on this earth. You can write this down, look it up later, but Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And amen." Some of the last words that Jesus spoke, we often refer to that as the Great Commission. And some of the last words Jesus spoke to us while he was on this earth, he told us, "I'm leaving, but I'm keeping you here because I want you to go and tell other people about me and bring other people to me." That's what we've been left on this earth for, church. We've been left on this earth to preach the gospel and to call other people to become followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's significant for us to understand. Evangelism, then, is not merely a ministry for a select few gifted people. Evangelism is the personal responsibility of every single believer. Commission cannot give any disqualifiers for anybody who felt like, "Well, I'm just too shy to talk to people." Say, "Well, evangelism's the preacher's job. That's what you do every Sunday behind the pulpit." What I do behind the pulpit is preach the Word of God. The Bible says that you and I, everywhere we go, are supposed to share Jesus Christ with every person that we meet, every opportunity that the Lord gives to us. As Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say, the only alternative for soul winning, disobedience. We talked about worry being a sin this morning. You not sharing your faith is just as much a sin as anything else. We don't like to think about it in that light. That is exactly what we need to understand. God has commanded us, commissioned us to share our faith with the people that are around us in our life. And so I want you to feel the weight of responsibility tonight. Because it's not just, "Well, I go to a church that tells people about Jesus." You are the church. You are supposed to tell people about Jesus. What would happen in Cortez, Colorado? What would happen in Lighthouse Baptist Church if every person who is a member of this church would get a hold of the responsibility that Jesus has given them and we'd get busy about this matter of bringing people to Jesus? I'll tell you what would happen. A lot of people who came to trust Christ as their Savior. Praise God for those who've already been saved, but friend, the work is not done. There are still many who are perishing right here in our city, and some of them, you rub shoulders with them every single day of your life. Every time you go to work, every time you go to the store, they're there. You know them, but you're not witnessing to them. And tonight, I want to stir up your minds and make you understand in your conscience the responsibility that is yours to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Brought them to Jesus. Now, as we look at Andrew here, the few moments we have remaining, I want you to consider with me, we really discover three types of people for Andrew's testimony that we should bring to Jesus. There are more than this, but I want us to consider these passages briefly here. Go back with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, the Bible really tells us about how Andrew and Peter became followers of Jesus. John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 35, the Bible says, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he, John, said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" He made this declaration about Jesus. And the two disciples heard him speak. They were disciples of John. And the Bible says now that they chose to follow Jesus. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and says to them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, dwellest thou?' Saith unto them, 'Well, come and see.' Came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew." There he is, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and says to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Get this. Summarizes this account in the scripture. Andrew, a follower of John, he loved the preaching of John's ministry, but when John declared Jesus as the Messiah, heard John declare Jesus was the Messiah, Andrew told John, "I'll see you later, man. I'm following him." He started following Jesus, and he got to spend a whole day with Jesus. After he spent a day with Jesus, what he went and did? "I got to go find my brother. I got to tell him. I've just met the Messiah. I've just spent a day with Jesus." His natural desire was to want to bring those closest to him, Jesus. Don't miss what I'm trying to tell to you here, because here's the first thing I want you to understand. When it comes to the type of people we ought to bring to Jesus, first and foremost, you need to bring those who are closest to you to Jesus. Hit on this last Sunday night. Evangelism needs to start in our homes. I'll go a step further tonight by saying it really needs to start with those who are closest to us. I dare say that most of us have people in our life we see on almost a daily basis we have never had a gospel conversation with. You witness to your neighbors? Your family members, extended family members. You say, "Oh, they won't listen to me." Going to limit the hand of God? See, before we worry about reaching the masses, why don't we just start with the people that God's already given us? Andrew's first response when he met Jesus was that he wanted to share, bring those closest to him with him to Jesus. I think of the maniac in Gadara. I don't have a lot of time to go there, but you could go to Mark 5 and read the story there. This man was filled with a legion of demons, and Jesus cast them out. And after that miracle took place, he desired to become a follower of Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus told him something very interesting in verses 18 to 19. He told him, "No, you can't come with me, because I want you to go back home, your city, those people who are there, and tell them how great things I have done for you." Interesting, the people of Gadara, after he threw out the demons out of the maniac of Gadara, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus couldn't go there. That maniac could. The man who Jesus had thrown those demons out of. And Jesus said, "I want you to go back to those people who you're closest to and bring them to me. Tell them about me." And you know what? Soul winning, evangelism should really start with the people who are closest to you. Who is it in your life today you need to bring to Jesus? Someone that is close to you, maybe a coworker, maybe a family member. Who is it that God's putting on your heart right now? Here's my challenge to you. Write their name down. Now, who's that person for you? You need to take some intentional time to pray for them and look for the opportunity from the Lord to be able to talk to them about Jesus. That's where it needs to start for us as a church. Before we worry about going out into the highways and hedges, it needs to start with the people who are right there closest to us. Those who are closest to you to Jesus. Here's the second thing I'd say: bring the unnoticed ones to Jesus. Summarize, because we're running out of time, but John chapter 6, it's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men in the multitude, the Bible tells us. 5,000 men, we can imagine, even if there was just one woman for every man who was there, which most of us know that the women usually outnumber the men in church anyways because they're more spiritual than we are. There was just one woman for every man that was there, and perhaps one child. We're looking at least 15,000 people. In a multitude of 15,000 to 20,000 people, Andrew notices a little boy brought his lunch. Had enough attentiveness to be aware of the people who were around him. Most people wouldn't have noticed that little boy. In fact, there's one story in the scriptures where children tried to come to Jesus, and some of the other disciples said, get away from Jesus. Andrew, in that circumstance, he sees this little boy, he sees an opportunity, and he brings this little boy to Jesus. I understand he's bringing him because he had food in this scenario, and I'm not trying to draw a bad application here. The point I'm trying to make with this is every day of our life, there are people that nobody else notices. Every Sunday, there are people that walk in the doors of this church that nobody else notices. Come week after week, nobody knows their name. Nobody talks to them. Maybe they look a little bit different. Maybe they're little. Maybe they're little, and that's one of the reasons why nobody notices them. But every day of your life, you're walking by people who nobody else cares about. Nobody else takes notice of. The Holy Spirit might provoke your heart to realize, you need to go talk to that person. The type of people we need to bring to Jesus. The type of people that nobody wants to take the time to talk to. Nobody else takes the time to notice. And by the way, a lot of times those are the people who can be the most open. They feel very much alone in the world. Have somebody that cares about them. Have somebody that will take the time to sit down with them and love on them. Make all the difference in the world in someone's heart. Be busy about this matter of bringing the unnoticed ones to Jesus. That's what Jesus came in this world to do, by the way. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. They didn't know where they were going. And the Bible tells us to have compassion, making a difference in their life. Bring the unnoticed ones to Jesus. Here's the final one I want you to notice as we turn to John chapter number 12. We looked at this story in the scripture earlier. We need to bring the unwanted ones to Jesus. Let me summarize again. Read John 12 verses 20 through 22, which we read earlier. You'll find again, the people that were wanting to go see Jesus, they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Who they were? Gentiles. If you know anything about Bible history, for the Jews, they didn't want to associate with the Gentiles. They didn't like the non-Jewish people. They have the same customs. In fact, those Gentiles were unclean. Some Gentiles came to Andrew. Andrew did not hesitate to go tell Jesus, "Hey, there's some Gentiles over there that want to talk to you." Didn't hesitate. In your life, there are all types of people who are outcasts from society. All types of people that nobody else wants to talk to. God has called us to be willing to get our hands dirty to minister to those types of people. Remember when I first came to Cortez, we were visiting July 8 years ago. Okay? It was when we first visited. And we had gotten in on a Friday, I think. We were having a nice stroll in the park on a Saturday afternoon. The parks are beautiful here. I love the parks. But it's then when I was first acquainted with some of the population in our area, like to frequent the parks. Homeless. Pretty bad problem in our area. We had a rather unpleasant experience there with my wife and my little six-month-old daughter at the time, Hattie. It's then that God began to work in my heart about the need of that in this area. By the way, I'll just say this, Ms. K has a ministry reaching out to homeless people. Ministry with blessing bags. She wants to put Bibles in there and she puts some things in there that they might need and goes out and hands them out to these homeless people. I've heard from a lot of people about the homeless in this area, a lot of mean things. We like to talk bad about them. Some of us want to get our hands dirty with those types of people. I think Jesus would do what Ms. K is doing. Go to those unwanted ones. Bring him to Jesus. Jesus spent his time with publicans and sinners. Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, "What's wrong with you?" Jesus said, "I did not come the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance." Those that are whole, they don't need a physician, but those that are sick, they need a physician. Jesus came to find those that are sick, to minister to those that are hurting and broken and unwanted and unlovely, and save them. That's the type of people that you and I should be reaching out to as well. The greatest need that every person has in this world is Jesus. We really believe that as the people of God. You really believe that every person needs Jesus more than anything else in this world. And you ought to allow that fact turn into action in your life. You getting involved in this matter of bringing other people to Jesus. And I want to end this time in the Scriptures tonight by doing something practical with you as a church family. I want Brother Reese to help me with this and perhaps a few others to help him as well. I want to pass something out to you. I'm not going to take a lot of time tonight to elaborate this because we're going to be talking about this the next two Sunday nights. Along this anthem of bringing other people to Jesus, there's a challenge that I want to put forth to our church family. And as you're getting this thing, you can open it up and look inside of it. There's a lot that's in here. Before you even look at it, I just want you to look at me. I'll hand this to you. You'll have time to read it later. Just look at me. God has called us as a church to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. He's called us to a great commission of sharing the gospel with every person in this city. We are responsible before God to reach our Jerusalem with the gospel. Every one of us are a part of this. So I want to challenge every one of you to take a step forward this fall with sharing your faith. The decision that you make tonight may be, I'm going to share Jesus with that specific person you wrote their name down earlier. By the way, that'd be huge if you would. I want to challenge all of you to take more steps than just that. Some of you, you have never been taught how to share your faith with someone else. This fall, during the month of September, on Thursday nights at 6:30, I'm going to be teaching an elective class on how to lead someone to Jesus, how to share your faith. If you've never been taught how to do it, I'll take you through the passages of Scripture that you can use and take you through what the Bible teaches us about how to share your faith with other people. One of the biggest hindrances for people to share their faith is because they're not sure how to do it. And I want to equip you as a church to know how to share your faith. I pray that many of you who have never been taught that, and perhaps it's been years since you have been taught that and you need some polishing up on it, that you will come to that elective meeting at 6:30 on Thursday nights. So many of you have been trained, but many of you haven't. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Second thing, here you'll find some times every week where we're going to have some organized outreach times. Thursday evenings will be one of them. For those that aren't a part of the elective class, a group will be going out sharing their faith. Thursday evenings and on Saturday mornings. Say, well, Pastor, going door to door, that's not the only way to share your faith. And you're exactly right. In fact, I really believe the most effective way to bring people to Jesus is through our personal relationships. You also understand that there are people in this community that none of us in this room know. We're still responsible to share the gospel with them too. So we're going to go into our community and invite people to church, and we're going to look for opportunity if the Lord opens it up for us to pray with people and perhaps tell them how they can be saved from their sin and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Tell me it doesn't work. The Bible, and you study the book of Acts, still commands us to do it. We're going to stay after it as a church. A lot of you look at that and say, well, Pastor, I'm just up in years and I can't walk around as much anymore, and I understand that. And there are other opportunities for you to be involved in this matter of outreach, but for those of you that are physically capable, there should be nothing that hinders you from being involved with learning how to share your faith and systematically going out in our community and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every person. Every person will want to hear it. Every person needs to hear it. And it is that reality that compels us to go. And I want to put this challenge in front of our church. I really haven't challenged our church since COVID. With this subject, but we need to be challenged in this area. I want to ask you to prayerfully begin to seek the Lord about what He would have you to do with this matter of evangelism. And as we continue preaching throughout this month, I'm going to talk more about these things, but I just want to start with giving you this for you to look at and for you to pray about. Also, there is a decision card. I ask that, maybe not tonight, but when God gives you peace about a decision, that you fill out that decision card and you turn it in. So we know how many people to prepare for that elective class, but also so we'll know how to prepare for those who are planning to come on Thursday nights and Saturdays. And trying to give some organization to our reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I pray that you will take this stuff home and begin to seek the Lord from your own heart about what God would have you do in being a part of this process of sharing our faith. God has given us the privilege of knowing Him as our Savior. Now we have an even greater privilege to be His ambassadors, His representatives on this earth, lights. We get to shine light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the people who are around us? Are you fulfilling your responsibility? Are you sharing your faith? Because if the Lord has convicted your heart and there's an area you need to grow in, and I'll just be frank, I believe all of us need to grow in this area. Amen. I pray that you'll make a decision tonight to at least say, God, I'm going to be open. Open what you want me to do to take a step forward with bringing other people to Jesus. Maybe God's already told you tonight what he wants you to do. If that's the case, I hope you'll just go ahead and surrender. God, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. I'm going to learn how to share my faith with other people. I'm going to systematically go out with my church and tell other people about Jesus. I'm going to witness to my neighbor. I'm going to witness to my family member, that person whose name you wrote down. Whatever the case may be, if God's already made it clear tonight, pray you'll make a decision at this invitation. Turn it over to Jesus. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.